We're in Netivot Shalom on the Parsha and Parsha Toldot. Obviously, one of the biggest topics in Parsha Toldot is the brachot. Yaakov purchasing the brachot from Esav, and then the back and forth of trying to get them from Yitzchak. Eventually having to, through Rivka, seemingly trick his father into getting the bracha against Esav's will. There's a lot going on here in terms of the first and third parts of the Parsha are really centering around this struggle about the brachot in between Yaakov and Esav. So let's take a look at what the Netivot Shalom has to say about it. We're on page Kuf Ayin Vav, Inyan HaBrachot. Vayihi, Ki zaken Yitzchak vatechahen Enav, Mirot, Vayikrat, Esav, Beno Agadol, Vayomer Elav, Beni, Vayomer Elav, Hineni, Vayomer Hine, Na Zakanti, Lo Yadati Yomoti, Veata Sana Kelyecha Telyecha, Vekashtecha, Vitsea Sade, Vitsodali Tzayit, Vasali Matamim, Kashira Havti, Vehevia Li, Vahla, Bavor Tevarecha Nafshi. So that's a quote from this parasha, that whole thing is a Arul Pesukim, where Yitzchak gets older, and his eyes became weakened from being able to see, and he calls Esav, his older son, to him, and he says, "Are you here?" He says, "Hineni." Behold, says Yitzchak, "I have become old. I don't know the day of my death," meaning, but it seems to be coming soon. So now, take all of the things that you need to go out to get food from the field, and go out and trap for me an animal, make for me a nice meal, and like I enjoy, and bring it to me, and I will eat it in order that I should be able to give you a bracha. Tzrich be'or kol inyan ha-brachot shelo matzinu dugmato etzel shar ha-avot v'haroim ha-kadoshim shebarchu et b'nehem lifnei motam b'inyanei gashmiim. So one of the first things that we have to understand about the brachot is that we don't see by any of the other avot that they blessed their children, they gave their children a bracha before they died with regards to physical things. And the majority, a large portion of the bracha that Yitzchak even ends up giving to Yaakov, thinking that it's Esav, is also in the realm of all of these physical things. To raise up or to take all of these things he would need to go out to the field to trap the animal. Not sana, not raise up, but rather take for yourself. Like this is very specific. If he's a hunter and he's been hunting all of his life, you know what he needs to do. Just say, go and go make dinner. It's very clear to him that meant going out to the field and going and trapping an animal and cooking it and bringing it to him. Like it would have been very clear what he meant. Does he not know how to get it himself? This was his whole job. This was his whole life, was going out to the field. Why did it specifically need to be that he needed to go out and trap an animal? Why did he have to go out and, for this purpose, go out and trap a brand new animal and go and make this fresh meat? Why not just go, if he went hunting yesterday and he had a leftover half of a cow. I don't know why you'd go hunting for a cow. Usually they're hanging out by the house. But if you have half of it sitting in the house, so then go and cook the other half of it today. It'd still be fresh. Why does it have to go and get something new? In terms of the brachot itself, so later on when again Yitzchak is giving the bracha to Yaakov, thinking that it's Esav. It says, "Va'itin lacha Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall give you mital hashamayim umishmanei haaretz, from the dew of the heavens and of the fat of the earth." Shapiresh Rashi, "Va'itin, yitain v'yachzor v'yitain." Zerich be'or maha mashmut b'zeh. That Rashi says, "Yitain," meaning that he should give, take back, and then give again. What does that mean? What is Rashi trying to bring out here? Hare HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachol lahanik b'fam achat. Yitain v'yachzor v'yitain, meaning that you should give and then you go back and he'll give more and go back and give more and go back and give more, I guess is what he means. Hari HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachol lahanik b'pa'am echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one time could give however much you need. Miyado harchava v'hamle'a shayad dai bazeh l'chol ha'chayim. He can give you all you need for your entire life in one moment. Why do you have to keep going back and giving more and getting more and getting more? Ma'inyan yitain v'yachzor v'yitain, that he'll give and he'll go back and then give again. V'chein tzarich pe'or. Ma shebarcho that you will be over your brother, and the children of your mother will bow down to you. kalal b'bracha et shiltono al Yaakov. Why does he include in the bracha that he thinks he's giving to Esav that he's going to be ruling over Yaakov? V'im chafetz lebarcho shivarcheu shuatzmo yichyeh betuvu maduash hishlitu alachav. Meaning, you could have given a bracha that you should be in a tremendous position and you should always have be in a state of being in power and you should always have whatever you need. Why does that have to be dafka in contrast to your brother? He should, meaning, even if he thought he was giving it to Esav, he did think he was giving it to Esav, just leave Yaakov out of it. Why does his rulership over Yaakov have to be part of the bracha? Because he knew how great Yaakov was. Top of the next column. An earlier piece in this week's Parsha, he discusses at length why it is, at all, that Yitzchak would have been more inclined toward Esav as opposed to Yaakov. Why did he love Esav so much? Esav was a Rasha. Why did he love Esav so much? Because Yitzchak understood things differently. Esav was successfully able to trick Yaakov into thinking that he was Noved Hashem, and assuming, which was incorrect, that Esav was Noved Hashem, that there were two ways, there are two paths in Avodat Hashem, and that is true. Yaakov hu kadesh kodesh kadashim parush legamrei mikol sheyachut ha'olam hazeh. Yaakov is kodesh kadashim. He's totally separated from all aspects of Olam Hazeh. He's ish tam yoshev o'alim. He's spending his whole life, night and day, not sleeping. He's sitting there in the Beis Medrash. His whole life is limud Torah and dvikut b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo shamru Chazal, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, harbe asu kirashbi velo alta b'yadam. That Rav Shimon bar Yochai, so his shita in life was go to, the Gemara talks about it, that his whole shita in life was that people should go and go to Beis Medrash, and if you go in Beis Medrash and you learn well your whole life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. So if you're dedicating your life to Avodas Hashem and you're Kodesh Kadashim, so don't worry, Parnassah will come. But you're not working, it's okay, Parnassah will come. And food will come, and everything will be taken care of. But you know what? Lemaisa, harbe asuka Rashbi, and many people did like Rashbi, Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And you know what they did? They starved. They didn't have any food. Because that's not how life works. It's not how life works because, in parentheses, is because that if a person, there's always, I'm sure you've heard in different shirim or discussions about the fact that you always have to balance between emunah and hishtadlus, right? The balance between the two. And that's because there needs to be an emistic balance between the two. Meaning, if you say, okay, I heard Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, if I go to Beis Medrash, then I'll get whatever I need. But if you don't deep down, believe, be'emes, it's part of who you are, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Yachol, and it doesn't matter if you work or you don't work, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even when right now you all walk into your finals, and you know you studied, you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did my hishtadlus, I read the words in the book, but I know whatever grade I got on top of the paper is up to you. Whatever grade I got on top of the test is up to you. Try walking into a test like that, see what happens. See if you can find that internal space where you're really like, everything that happens next is all cool, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't matter. Walk into a job interview, and this is the way we're supposed to come into it. I think we talked about this in the past. Where you say, I did my hishtadlus, I wrote the resume because I'm supposed to, I prepare what I'm going to say, but I know that at the end of the day, if I'm supposed to get this job, it's in your hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm not. It's nothing to do with the person sitting in front of me. It's all in your hands. And that could take step forward. So I'm going to the Beis Medrash. And whatever happens, it's going to happen. I have a cousin who lives in Har Nof. So his, you know, everybody's got their own level. And the point is one has to know genuinely where they're at. And genuinely, where is he at? And it was amazing to me. I mean, I was in Israel for a large portion of around 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So I spent a lot of time by him. I enjoyed going to him, and I also enjoyed arguing with him a lot. But he's great. He's a wonderful, wonderful person, beautiful family. And his whole shita is that he's never going to look for parnasa. Because he says you can always look for more parnasa. And there's always more to give to your family. We have a huge family. We live in Har Nof. So what's his shita? I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send me what I need, and that could be work. So if I get a phone call and somebody calls me up and says, hey, a position just opened, I think you should take it, I'll always say yes. Because I assume it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me that I need to take this job. But I'm never going to actively look for more parnasa. And that's how he leads his life. That's it. And he was always able to be in front of his family. Because that's where his balance of emunah and nishtadlus was. But a person needs to know, because if you go ahead and say, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, if I go to Beis Medrash, everything will be okay. I have no idea if it's going to be okay or not, but Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, great, I'm going to go, I'll be able to learn. You know what's going to happen? What happened to everybody who did it? They starved. They needed to go out and find work. Because it depends on where you're at. And Tevot Shalom actually brings a beautiful, beautiful remez from a pasuk. Can you pass me a chumash? Oh, it's not going to be. I know where it is. I visually know where it is. He brings a remez. It's coming up pretty soon. That when Yaakov sends the brothers down to Egypt to get food, so he tells them to go and to take with them, something, meaning they have to go and they were asking for food. They're actually starving in Eretz Yisrael, so he sends the brothers down to go and get food from Mitzrayim. And so Yaakov tells them, "Vayomar lehem Yisrael, avihem, im kein efo zot asu ku mizimrat haaretz bichleichem, ve'oridu ish mincha, ma'at tzari u'ma'at dvash, nochot valot, batnim ushkedim." So Yaakov told them, if it must be so, then do this. Take the land's glory in your baggage and bring it down to the man as a tribute, a bit of basalm, a bit of honey, wax, lotus, pistachios, and almonds. So Nevi'im Shalom says, you have no food. You're starving. There's a famine. And you need to bring a tribute to the person who has the only food anywhere near you. Why are you sending, emphasizing, me'at tzariu, me'at dvash? Only bring a little bit. Bring everything you have. It's a tribute. Then Tevot Shalom says in a different piece later on in Bereishit, he says no, because he understood his balance of emunah and ishtadlus. And for him, he knew that the amount of ishtadlus that he required was yes to give ma'at, but no more than ma'at. That was his ishtadlus. That was, he knew, because he knew himself, he had a sense of he knew exactly who he was, that was the level of ishtadlus that he required. And that's all he needed to give. But a person has to know exactly where their ishtadlus needs to be and exactly where their emunah is. Because the two have to correlate with each other. What's beautiful about the end of that story? What's the end of the story? By Yaakov. What's the end of the story by Yaakov? What happens in the end of Bereishit? Anyone read Chumash before?
Like slavery? Or what are you talking about?
The end of Bereishit. What happens? They go down, they bring a little bit of all this stuff, and what happens? Do they get food?
Well, they stay. They get enslaved.
No, that's later on. They do get food.
Oh, but Bereishis. I'm thinking like Vayichi.
You're thinking Shmot. I'm talking Bereishis.
I'm thinking Vayichi.
No, they're not enslaved in Vayichi.
But then they get, like, that's
Shmot. And a Bereishit. And a Bereishit. They go down, they bring it, and they give the tribute to the second to the king. Not only do... And what it gets revealed?
That Yosef.
That it's Yosef. So yes, he was 100% right. I don't even think Jewish Shalom emphasizes that when he's giving that piece over. He was not only right, he was so right that it miraculously turned out, which he had no idea, that not only was it enough, but his own son was then going to give him enough food to survive and bring their whole family down to Mitzrayim and give them everything they needed there. So was his ishtadlus and his emunah in the right place? 100%. Because of course Yaakov knew himself. No idea where this is going, but sorry, that was a tangent. It's just such an important concept that we often don't think about, is that really it's that it is a balance of emunah and ishtadlus, but it has to be that one knows exactly where their emunah is, because it has to correlate perfectly, and to continue to work on one's emunah to get to that place. And that's why harbea sukarashbi, many did like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai v'lo al tabi adam, but it didn't do anything for them because they weren't on that level, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai certainly was on that level. V'ilu asu Ovedet Hashem bechol inanei olam hazeh. Sorry, ve'ilu, here it's Esav. Ve'ilu Esav, and Esav, Ovedet Hashem bechol inanei olam hazeh. So Yitzchak, when he saw Esav, assumed that Esav was serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu with olam hazeh. As opposed to Yaakov, who was Kodesh Kadashim and being poorish from everything and on a totally different plane of existence, living a life like Rashbi would later live. Fine, but Esav was living in the physical world. Shu ish yodeat tzayid ish sadeh. He was a person who knew how to trap. He was a person who had a hunt. He was a person of the field. Ve'et kol elu ha'inyanim hu ma'alel avodat Hashem yiparach. And all of these things he would raise up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Val yadam yavo tikun ha'olam sh'ratzon al-yon bevriyat ha'olam yikmo shamru chazal nitaveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'lodira batachtonim. And through this comes the tikun of the world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, as Chazal say, all he wanted is that he desired to have a place to reside abide in this lower world, in this physical world that we would build for him. That all of the physicality in this world would raise up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what that means is not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goal, the end point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that we should separate from this world. We're not meant to live in a mountain somewhere. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gets the Torah, where does he go to get the Torah?
Har Sinai.
Which, just take in the visual of that also. He goes up to the top of the mountain. And what do we know when he's on that mountain? What do we know miraculously happens for him while he's up on that mountain? Not just that he gets the Torah. How does he survive on the mountain? He doesn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. He's totally separate from the physical world. He's up in the mountain. He's no longer visible to the rest of the world. He's not eating. He's not drinking. He's totally up in this totally distant existence. But that's why that only happens in the middle of Sefer Shemot. Because the way the Torah needs to be lived is that it must come back down from that mountain into the physical world and be lived in this world. And the next thing they need to do is to build a Mishkan, which is where there's a unity between the upper realms and the lower realms, where there's literally a Dira B'Tachtonim, where we build a Mishkan, where we build the paradigm for Beit HaMikdash. That's how we're meant to live life, not by being totally separate. That's the goal of the world. V'lachain, and therefore, Savar Yitzchak, this is Yitzchak that we're talking about. And while he was tricked by Esav, what his kavanah was in Esav, what he thought Esav was, ki Esav hu ha'osek b'tikun ha'olam, he thought that Esav was going and fixing the world in its ultimate fixing. Shu ish sadeh shema'alet kol inei olam hazeh l'tachlitam l'havi al yadam et tikun ha'olam liot l'ashem yibrach dira b'tachtonim, that he thought he was raising up the whole physical world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating a dira b'tachtonim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating a reality, a place to rest for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Ukemamar Rav HaKadosh HaMagid B'Mezritz, as the Magid B'Mezritz says, Mal'ah Ha'aretz K'nenecha, the Tivot Shalom quotes this all the time, very beautiful drasha from the Magid B'Mezritz, Mal'ah Ha'aretz K'nenecha, that we often translate that as that the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's Kona the whole world. Says the Magid B'Mezritz, there's a whole other layer of meaning in that pasuk. What's Mal'ah Ha'aretz K'nenecha? Ha'olam malei b'dvarim she'afshar liknot chayit barach al yadam. Mal'ah Ha'aretz K'nenecha. That the world is full of things through which I can acquire you, Hashem. I can acquire godliness. That if I engage the physical world and raise it up, I can acquire godliness in my life. I can bring you into the world. Shekasher yudi ochel v'shoteh osek b'mechzar. B'mischar, o b'shari yanei ha'olam, that when a Jew eats or drinks and is engaged in the physical world, b'chol yachol liknot k'viyachol Hashem Yiparach u'la'avi la'tachlit ha'tikun ha'olam, shekayim b'tzonoi Yiparach b'yat ha'olam, that when a person eats, drinks, is engaged in commerce and everything in this world, that through that, a person can acquire k'viyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the tikkun of this world and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. V'zot dafka mitoch malah ha'aretz k'nenecha. And that's dafka because it's in the eretz, in the land, in the physical reality, that's where that kinanecha is. Mitoch kol ha'inyanim ha'artziim, through the physical things. Shelech ora einam ela ta'avot pechutot, that only seem to be these simple, small, and sometimes destructive desires. Uve'emet efshar liknoto yitbarach b'hem, and that we can dafka be koneh HaKadosh Baruch Hu through those. And therefore Yitzchak thought that the fixing of the world is dafka going to come about through Esav, and not by Yaakov. And if Yaakov, as he was at that time, just sitting in Beis Medrash, that's not going to bring a tikkun for the world. That's not how it works. It's not a pitur. It doesn't mean that we don't need to be in the Beis Medrash. It doesn't mean that we should stop learning the Tivot Shalom right now and go back and keep studying. There has to be balance. Also, Esav ended up being a Rasha because he didn't have any connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, it's not saying that we shouldn't be in the Beis Medrash, but that the recognition that when we're in that Beis Medrash, that when we're living in that reality for those few moments, assuming that we take the food and the drink, we have no food, no drink policy in the Beis Medrash, right? So you take the food and the drink outside of the Beis Medrash, and you sit down, and for an hour, for 45 minutes, for half an hour, we sit down, and when we're in that zone, we're learning. And there were Poresh Me'olam Hazeh. I'm turning everything off. I'm shutting the whole world out. I'm putting everything away. And now I'm being poreish from the world, and I'm totally being osek in Avodas Hashem. I'm totally being osek in what I'm learning Torah. But when I learn that Torah, I'm meant to then take that forth and then live a life in the physical world where I'm permeating the physical world with the Torah that I learned. That's the goal. That's the balance we're meant to strike. Diakov meha'al yonim. Who shetzurato chakuka b'kisei kavod v'hu kemalach v'kusaraf? Because Yaakov was in a whole other plane of existence. He's living up in these upper realms, so much so that his image, Chazal tell us, is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. When you look at the Kisei HaKavod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kviyachol sits on, his face is there. He is the epitome of what one should strive for in that sense. He's totally supernal, Yaakov. He's like a malach, like a saraf. V'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu nitaveh litzirah b'tachtonim ve'ein tikkun ha'olam yachol yit batzea al yidei Yaakov she'ein lo kol sheichud l'amazeh. And if the whole goal of how to fix this world is within the context of the physical world, then Yaakov, you know, couldn't do that. Next page. V'gam eino zakuk libracha ki baruch hu. He's also not shaykh to bracha because his whole reality is already an essence of bracha. Aval Esav, but Esav shetafkido lehavi letikun agamor, that whose goal Yitzchak assumed was to bring about the tikun agamor shel olam zakuk lebracha kedei shiuchal lebatzea tafkido. He needed the bracha in order to fulfill his purpose. Lamshich alav hashrat hashchinat, that to make sure Yitzchak wanted to just impress upon him hashrat hashchinat, to make that a part of his life. Shebechol maaseh gashmi shiaseh tiyah hashrat hashchinat, to help him and make sure that everything that he did, every act he took in the physical world, there would be Asherat HaShechinah on that act. V'zehu tam v'yehav Yitzchak et Yaakov, and that was why Yitzchak loved Esav. Kevan shesavar al yado yitukan ha'olam, because he thought that dafka through Esav would come the tikkun of the world. Kemo shamru chazal, ki tzayid b'fiv, shetido b'fiv v'ramahu ad shehechaziko Yitzchak magdra ramah kazo. That tzayid b'fiv, his whole essence, Esav's essence, like we talked about in Shir Kali yesterday, is that he was a liar, that he was able to trick Yitzchak, everyone, with his words. He was the paradigm of the liar par excellence. So much so that he was able to even trick Yitzchak into thinking he was an Ovid Hashem and that everything he was doing was Avodat Hashem. And the beauty of it is that Yitzchak was wrong. And Esav was and is a Rasha. In which case, where did the bracha have to go? Where did the bracha have to go? He's very quiet today. I'm trying to give easier ones. Hopefully you see you guys are still awake, even though it's close to midterms, close to finals. I know it's also slash like midterms finals at the same time right now. It's December, right? Because midterms never end. So it goes to Yaakov. But what happens right after Yaakov gets the bracha? Think about it in terms of the narrative of Chumash. What happens right after Yaakov gives the bracha? Sorry, right after Yitzchak gives the bracha to Yaakov. What happens next?
Esav chases him.
Esav doesn't chase him. Esav actually never seems to actively chase him. But what happens? Esav definitely wants to kill him. So what happens?
He runs away.
And we go to Parshat Vayitze. And all of the Torahs in Nitivot Shalom on the next Parsha are all about the Maila of Yaakov Avinu, that after sitting in Beis Medrash for years, he then goes out and he faces the greatest challenge, which is Parshat Vayetze, which is a whole Parsha where there seems to be no Avodat Hashem. He's going, he finds a wife, he builds a family, he engages in commerce. And the Torah says, what's the whole point of having that Parsha? Who cares? And the answer is this, is that Yaakov Avinu became Yaakov Avinu not by having sat in the Beis Medrash. That's what gave him the potential to become Yaakov Avinu. But he actually fulfills that which is what his father had intended, which was the bracha to go to a person who was then going to live in the physical world and elevate every aspect of the physical world. That's what all of the pieces in the devotional next week are about. About the depth of Yaakov Avinu, in that he took everything he learned in the Beis Medrash, where he was kimalach, kisaraf, where he was totally parush, and then he goes out and succeeds in every aspect of his life, raising up the physicality, as he's running away, as he goes, as he finds a wife, as he's dealing with Rachel and Leah, as he's dealing with the tremendous challenges of Lavan. That he's being ma'aleh every aspect of the aretz, every aspect of physicality to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of course Yitzchak was right, that that's the ultimate tikkun. Esav was such a liar that he was able to fool even Yitzchak, which is incredible to think about it in of itself. And perhaps maybe that he says it earlier. Maybe that whatever. Does that mean he seems to clearly tricked Yitzchak? But on the flip side, his kavana of knowing that it needed to go to somebody who was going to bring ultimate tikkun, which has to happen by bringing the Beis Medrash, bringing the Torah. In an emistic way, knowing one's own limitations, knowing what one knows and what one doesn't know, and how much one has to work to go forward, but bringing that base medrash and bringing it into the world, that's what Yaakov then does. Because that's where the bracha needed to go, and that's what needed to be accomplished. So it follows through. If we look at it from that sense, it follows through. Shabbos. Uvazeir yivaru haktuvim shamarlo Yitzchak. Ve'ata sana kelyecha telyecha v'kashtecha. Take all of your things that you need to go out to go and capture your game. Sana perush tagbia utiromem et atzmecha. He's not telling him lift up all of your weapons. He's saying sana, raise yourself up before you go out to the field. And also all of the things that you're taking with you, that all of the vessels, all of these weapons that you're taking with you, that you're using in this world, raise them up to make them Kodesh Kadashim. Liotam kli klei kadosh klei sharet, to make them up and make them like clay sharet, to make them like you're using them like the same way in our own lives. That the same way, can you just to imagine that when a person takes their kalim that they have in their kitchen, forks, the knives, the spoons, the plates, the pots, the pans. To imagine, it's kiklei shari, to have that visual in one's head that I'm having in my own, my house is a little mikdash ma'at. And if I'm cooking the things in this house, it's like usually the shulchan is the final station, so that's considered really the mizbeach in a person's house. But like you're bringing them up on the mizbeach. But to think about that, to envision that in one's mind, that that's what one's doing. That one's turning on the light, that one's lighting up the menorah in their house, like if they're lighting the menorah in the base of mikdash in their house. And to think about then, what is that light meant to do? What am I lighting up in this world? What am I using that light for? What am I using it to read? What am I using it to watch? What am I using it to do if I'm just doing stuff in the house? But to recognize this, sana, raise up everything that we have in this world. In what way am I utilizing it like it's keklei sharet?
Go out to the field. Meaning, go out to the field, leave behind everything else. Leave behind all of the physicality when you go out. Go and trap it for meaning. Don't take something that's already pre-prepared. Because the only way to fulfill the tikkun in this world is things that we work for. It's not about elevating the base medrash. It's also about elevating the base medrash. But it's not about elevating the base medrash. The question is, how are you going to go out and not take from the mukhan? Here, everything is sitting right in front of us. We're sitting in this room. Again, there's no food allowed in here. There's nothing going on in here. There's sfarim all around. There's sifrei Torah in here. There, it's easy. Not to not engage that also. But here, it's easy. How are you going out and creating the ultimate tikkun by not taking from the mukhan? By dafka going out and having to raise up this world? And since you're a person who's an ish tzayid, it has to be you who goes out and engage in those things in a way of kedusha. By going out and raising it up, when you trap that animal, you capture that animal. Yes, you're going to make for me a meal, says Yitzchak. But when you're making for me that meal, it's ki'ilu in your mind, like you're bringing a korban. That's what you need to do. Vasali matamim kasher ahavti, and make for me the things that I love to eat. She'elu hema matamim hanirtzim l'reach nichoach yishel Hashem. Because what does Yitzchak really want? What does Yitzchak really want? All he wants is what for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So when you go and you're making that food for me, make it in a way where it's ki'ilu, you're doing it for kibud avaim, you're doing it with all the recommends. It's kireach tichoach la'Hashem, like a korban. Kashir makdishim et inanei olam hazeh hatachtonim lishmoi parach shezeh tachlit ratzon Hashem. Like the things that are made kadosh when they're raised up to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's the whole goal of what Ratzon Hashem wants. V'kivan shaya Yitzchak savor sheya korat Sheikar tachlit tikkun haolam yitkayim al deyesav. And since Yitzchak thought incorrectly that the goal of the tikkun in this world is fulfilled through Esav, ratzalim sorlo et habrachot kedei latet lo et hakoach la'avi l'tikkun haolam hagashmi. Then he wanted to give dafka Esav the brachot in order that Esav would have the koach to be able to bring about the ultimate fixing in the physical world. And that's why he gives him the bracha. Vayitin lecha Elokim, itala shmanayim mishmei haaretz. He gives him physical brachot. K'mamru Chazal, as Chazal say, vayitin lecha elokuta. Oh wow. Haynu sheyitin lecha elokuto bechol inei haolam betela shemayim v'shnei haaretz uverov dagan v'tirosh. Meaning vayitin lecha Elokim. Chazal understand it as vayitin lecha elokuta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you godliness in the physicality that you're engaging.
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you godliness in all of the physicality that you engage in the Tal HaShemayim, in the Shemanei HaAretz, Uvavorof Dagam Yosh, and all of the physical things that you're going to bring back from the field. That you should be able to raise everything up to godliness. And that other nations should serve you, and that they should bow down to you. Should ta'avod et kol ha'briya elokut, that the whole world should be mishabed, should be then turning and being subjugated to godliness through your actions in this world. Ad l'tachlit tikkun ha'olam, till you get to the ultimate tikkun of the world. Sha'az tiyeh kol ha'briya dira u'ma'on la'shem yiparach, till the whole world is a place, is a resting place, is a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell. So again, why is it that he's giving this bracha in his mind to Esav, that Dafka Yaakov should be subjugated to him? Why is that part of the bracha, that he should be over Yaakov? He's emphasizing for him that the tikkun of the world has to come from you, not from Yaakov, as he understands Yaakov. That you go into and engage all of Olam Hazeh in a way that will bring about the fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. And it says, as he said in a previous piece relating to Mesilas Yesharim, when it says in Mesilas Yesharim, that in the process of being mekadesh this world, there's two levels. Harishuna kadesh atzmecha b'mutar, hainu lefrosh na'er legamrei me'olam hazeh, v'ish madriga gvoha mizo. That even in the higher realms of Avodas Hashem, that there's two different levels. One is in the realms of things that are allowed to us, meaning obviously not doing Averot, and obviously only doing Mitzvot, and only engaging in things of Kedusha. But even in engaging in those things, he's saying, Shlav Aleph, the first level is to separate even from those things that are allowed to us. One of the classic examples that's given, it's brought down by the Ramban on the spot there in Parsha Kedoshim, is in like in the realm of food, and we talk about this many times in the Tivot Shalom, that even after we've moved ourselves away from non-kosher food, and even when we've set a bracha on the kosher food, so now we're in the realm of Heter. So where's the Avodas Hashem? That's where all the Avodas Hashem happens. And even there, there's two levels, and within those two levels, there's an infinite number of levels. But there's two primary levels, he's saying. Level number one is yes, all of this food is mutter, but how do I be makadesh myself by saying, okay, I could eat all of this food, but I only want to eat what's going to energize me in Avodas Hashem, and I'm not going to take any more than that. That's it. My goal in eating is that I'm eating for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not eating for me. And so therefore, I'm being paresh, even though all of this food is mutter. Even though I just walked into this wedding hall and there's this huge smorgasbord in front of me and I could eat six meals at one time right now. We've all been there. Right? It's all in front of me. Say, no, I'm only going to take what I need to eat. And he's saying the madriga above that is no. It's not just that I'm only going to take what I need. But then dafka, while I'm actually eating that food, which is all that I need to sustain myself, while I'm eating that, the food which is not treif, which is kosher, which I set a bracha on, and which I've now chosen for the purpose of being, which I've now chosen only to take what I need, even though it's all mutter. It's not to say, okay, I'm only taking what I need, even though it's mutter. It's that I'm taking what I'm actually taking, I'm now elevating that food in and of itself, by being mechavein, while I'm eating that, to be oled as a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first level is precious. The first level is sitting in Beis Medrash, separating from the world. Then it's going into the world itself in the right amount in the right level. You look at Yaakov Avinu. His whole focus, when he's getting married, he wants to have these children. He wants to build Klal Yisrael. He wants to do the best that he can for all of his wives, which is clearly not simple for him. You see, look in the parsha, and then when he goes forward, and you see the detail that he took and when Lavan runs after him at the end of next week's Parsha, he says, are you kidding me? You're running after me? I never took anything from you. I never ate. I never drank. I never slept. I never took a break because it got too cold. I never took a break because it got too hot. Everything that he did b'kavanah to make sure that it was the derech of what it means to work for someone and to live a life within the context of halacha and hashkafa. He lived Torah. He became Torah. He lived Torah. That's where we're supposed to go. And even in Kedusha, even in Heter, that there's two, those two madrigas, a first pre-shoot,
of first understanding what I need to separate myself from, and then when I engage in things that I have to engage in, then the second level is raising up those things that I have to engage in. Even if they're mutar, still raising them up.
V'Yitzchak savar, shezeh yuchal litkayim rak al yidei Esav. Yitzchak thought this could only happen through Esav. Ki Yaakov kodesh kadashim, because Yaakov is kodesh kadashim, kemalach she'en lo shayachut l'olam.
You know, Yitzchak's looking at Yaakov, and he's saying, what is he going to be able to do? He's the tikkunim that he's doing, he's literally living on this whole spiritual existence. He's living in Shemaim. And he's not criticizing Yaakov, but he's saying, that's not going to bring about the ultimate tikkun, that's bringing about tremendous tikkun to the world. But the ultimate tikkun it's not going to bring about.
The tikkun of this world needs to be done through people in this world, and not a malach. And I don't care if Yaakov isn't actually a malach. He's a malach.
And that's not how you're going to fix this world.
It wasn't dafka about the giving tov to Esav. It was the goal of Yitzchak's whole goal, his focus, his kavanah, was to fix the world. And that's why it's chal on Yaakov, and that's why Yaakov is successful, when he does go out and fulfill it in that way.
That through him we'd get a tikkun for the world.
And that's what it means. That you go back and he'll give more, and he'll go back and he'll give more.
Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you, and then even if you sin, even if you're chote, that he'll still give you more and give you the ability to go back and try again and try to be ma'ale the physicality another time.
That even if a person does fail and does fall, and instead of raising the physical world up, they fall into their own desires for the physical world, and they end up serving themselves instead of serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu through engaging in the physical world,
to strengthen oneself again.
And then to once again bring in godliness into the world, to be Mekadesh and to sanctify the world. It's the goal. It's what the whole world is about. It's what everything's about. And it's you know, as long as he keeps emphasizing the pasuk and trying to hold back from saying it, but it's an important thing. It's very beautiful if you take a look, and it's really unfortunate that most people don't say it. And if you have the time, you take it on Bli Neder and say it when you can. Very, very beautifully, if you look in Sidurim, on Motzei Shabbat. So what is Shabbat? Shabbat is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's a little bit of the world to come. It's on Shabbat, the whole physical world, and the Sibotron talks about it all over the place, the whole physical world is in a whole different place. We're living the spirituality of the physical on Shabbat. Because Shabbat is being migaleh, that the whole world is just the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the world, that he's coming out and he's bringing us to an Olam HaTikun, that he's bringing us to Olam Haba, which is just Kulo Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is just emanating through the physicality on Shabbat. And then comes Motzei Shabbat, and we fall back into a new week of physicality. And we try to be mechazik ourselves. And one of the ways that we try to be mechazik ourselves is through Havdalah. That's why in Havdalah, one of the explanations given, why we smell bisamim. Why do we smell bisamim on Motzei Shabbat? What does one have to do with the other? So Eish, fire was created on Motzei Shabbat. We say Agefen because we're trying to sanctify the week. Beseder. What is it bisamim? So one of the reasons that's brought down is because as we fall back into the physical world and as we're losing seeing clearly the spirituality of the physical world, we take an object which seems physical and we say a bracha and we smell it. And that smell reminds us that there's things hidden within physical objects that are beyond the eye that are still there. It reminds us that there's a deeper reality to things. It reminds us that there's more than the eye sees in the physical world and that we need to engage it that way. But what one could take on is that right after davening, right after Maariv, there's a whole long list of brachot. And that long list of brachot, it's psukim from all over Tanakh. Beautiful psukim, asking that in this week we should be able to relate to the week properly, we should be able to relate to the physical world properly, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring bracha into the week, bracha into the chol, should bring bracha into the physical world. So the first thing we're davening for when we go back into the physical week. And what's the pasuk that opens up those brachot? At the end of, after Maariv, in that tefillah? This pasuk. Vayiten lecha Elokim ital shemayim v'arets. That's the first pasuk. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about bringing bracha and bringing a Kadosh Baruch Hu into the physicality of the week. It's reorienting myself. That I can, coming out of the koach of the Shabbat that I had, to bring the Kedusha into the physical. It's a beautiful thing if you get a chance to say it. I try to say it every week. Sometimes I say it I say it almost every week, but sometimes I say it with more kavanah, sometimes less kavanah. It depends on how quickly things are moving on Motzei Shabbat. But to really be able to prioritize, I try to, the best I can, certainly over the summer when it's not during the craziness of the semester. I stay after davening, and I sit in shul, and just say the psukim for 3, 4, 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Take 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and even say half of them. Try to say all of them, but it's so beautiful the way that they're that just to come to the week with by bringing bracha, by recognizing that the goal is to bring the bracha and bring the kedusha into the chol. Do we have a little more time? I mean, I have as much time as I need. I don't know about the rest of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes.
Okay. So I had the next paragraph is going to take a turn. So I'm really excited to see what he has to say next. So let's get to Rivka, because Rivka chapped. Omnam, now always trust the mother, always trust the wife, always trust the woman. Omnam, Rivka yada ki hamiyuad letaken et haolam hu Yaakov velo Esav. Rivka understood that he who was destined to fix the world was Yaakov and was not Esav. Umimela brachot elu shayachot elav, and that these brachot were necessary for him. Alkein sivavakach sha brachot yagi el Yaakov, and therefore she manipulated things, she organized things that they would come to Yaakov. V'acharkach nochach gam Yitzchak lirot shekachu. Even Yitzchak understood this. Kemo dichtiv, as it says later on in the parsha, v'yacharad Yitzchak charada gdola shera'a gehinom petuchalo mitachtav u'miyakov hareach nichoach gan Eden. That when he realized what had happened, when he realized that Esav was standing before him asking for the brachot, and he'd already given them to Yaakov, that he trembled. He deeply trembled. When he saw that Gehenna had opened up underneath, and that from Yaakov was going to come the Reach Nichoach of Gan Eden, v'nochach lirot ki Esavu atachlit haklipa, and at that moment he finally realized his whole world. He was shaking because his whole worldview was of his children was just totally came out from underneath him. When he realized that Esav was the klipa, that Esav is the tumah of the world, u'me'ata mayachol kvar levarcho, and therefore what bracha could he give him? And that's why originally, then Yitzchak says, I have no bracha to give you. Because he realizes you can't give a bracha to Esav. Because Esav is the opposite of everything we're trying to accomplish. And so he says, I have no bracha to give you. But since Esav pressed and pressed and pressed, and he begs him, and he cries to him, please give me a bracha. And as Chazal say, Kama shekilkel b'dimotav elu. I don't know what it says in the Zohar there, and I've heard I've never seen it inside, that Esav shed 2 tears, and that from each of those 2 tears there was a Chorban Abayis. I don't know if that's what he's quoting here, because he's not. I assume that it was in the Gemara, not from the Zohar, but I'd have to look it up to see which it is. But even if there's another midrash in the Zohar which says that other terrible things happened because of what the point was is that Esav crying was not a good thing, that it was causing down the road terrible things for the Jewish people. So when Yitzchak saw that withholding bracha entirely from Esav was only going to cause harm to the Jewish people, then Natan lo birchato mishmane aretz yemoshavecha. Then he gave him the bracha that of the fat of the land will be your dwelling. Shekan lo niskar klal Elokim. There's no godliness mentioned in that bracha. When he gives him a bracha that he should have a good life. That's basically what happens. But there's no longer a bracha here that's focused on creating any sort of tikkun. Shelo bercho b'viten lecha elokuta. There's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you godliness in everything that you do. Ki leisav in shechut elokut, because leisav has no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rak mishmanei aretz yemoshavecha, meaning that you should only live in this world. Hainu shemitzar haklipa. That your whole life is only going to be from the klipa. You're only going to live in this world. Ukemodi to bezohar kadosh. The Zohar says, "Shomrim kodem atkiot, ilin takifin veochlusin deshar amemin veda kashyale mikula." I don't know what that means. Hopefully, I'll explain it. V'hainu shebarich otoshi kabel yinikato mitzar klipa. That what he was doing was giving him a bracha that his whole life force would only be connected to the klipa. He would only draw his life force from the klipa, and that he wouldn't be able to distract any of the godliness from coming into this world. He wouldn't be able to block any of the godliness from coming into this world. Dekevan she'enlo sheyachud lekedusha. Since Esav has no connection to kedusha, iefshar lehamshichlo yinikam mitzar kedusha. He can't give him any sustenance from kedusha. V'rak mitakifin. The ochlusin, the shar amamin, assumably only being able to take from the strength and to draw from the other nations. Shetzieni katomi bekorak klipa, that he only be able to draw from the klipa. Kepirush Rashi, mishmanei haaretz zo ital Italia, Shalyavan, Shumakora Klipa, meaning that he would only be able to, that what it would produce is the Italia of Yavan, that it would produce, I guess somehow, a reality of Greece, which is the Makor of the Klipa, which certainly is relevant to what we're coming up to with Hanukkah. I don't know what the connection between Esav and Yavan is in that particular instance, but Peseder.
What's Italy?
I assume it means Italy, yes. Oh, okay. We'd have to look it up, but let's. We're like you said. You only have a few minutes left. So let's see what he says. V'ukemo de'ita mi kadmonim leva'er ha'inyan shan ro'im chayavei kritut v'chayavei mitzot b'idei shemayim rachmanu litzlan shema'arichin yamim v'shanim do'omnam kodem ha'churban kasher kol yinika yuta mitzad ha'kedusha harei kesheavar adam avira shel chiyuv karet nikratach yuto mitzad ha'kedusha Umela nit katsru yamav kilo hayalo mehekan lekabel chiyut. Aval leachar hachorban nit kaber koach haklipa viyesh koach yinika mitzad haklipa. V'kasher adam chotei af al pish shenichratet yinikato mitzad hakedusha kemo ditiv hakaret tikaret hanefesh yesh lo yinika mitzad haklipa v'areu chai misitrach. Wow. Got that?
Nope.
Wow. So he's saying, when a person gets karet, what does karet actually mean? What does a karet literally mean? We'll spend it outside. What does karet mean? It means to be cut off. He's saying that what karet means is that when a person does an avera that's chai of karet, they're cut off. But what are they cut off from? They're cut off from the source of kedusha. They're no longer able to be yonek mimakora kedusha. And so in the times of the and that creates a reality of mita bidei shamayim, that a person is, there's a chi of death on that person, min shamayim. But we see people who are engaging in chiyuve karet all the time, lo alinu, rachman al sam bizman hazeh, and they don't die. Why is that? So he's claiming that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, they would die. Why would they die? Because in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, the only way that you could have chiyus is to be connected to the Makor HaKedusha. And so therefore, when one was karet, when one cut themselves off from the Makor HaKedusha, in Achinami, they would die. But in our time, where the world is switched to a place where we're not just drawing from the Makor of Kedusha anymore, where so much of the world is drawing their whole life force from the Klipa, from Tum'ah, they're drawing their life from the Makor HaTum'ah, then even when a person is Chayav Kares, they're able to still live because they then cut themselves off from the Makor of Kedusha, but they then start drawing life force from the Makor of Tum'ah, which allows them to continue living in this world. It's a wild concept.
What's a Tra'achar?
Literally, Seter means side, Acher means other. It means the other side. It's the way that the Sfarim refer to not the side of Kedusha, but the other side, meaning the Kochot HaTumah.
Oh, okay. It always means Tumah?
It always means the Kochot HaTumah, the Tameh spiritual forces in this world. V'zot birach Yitzchak et Esav, and this is the bracha that Yitzchak ends up giving Esav. Mishmanei ha'aretz yemoshavecha, that he should be drawing from the fat of the land, and where he dwells. Shikabel yinikato mitzad haklipa, that he's drawing his whole sustenance from the klipa itself. Uvevirchotav natan lo rak et ha'olam hazeh al derech haliteo l'rasha v'yamot, and he's giving his whole sustenance in olam hazeh only, and he's using a line from the Gemara here in a different way of halitehu l'rasha v'yamot. So let the rasha take whatever he wants and let him die from it. He's saying let him indulge in the physical world and let it be the end of him. That's what he ends up giving to Esav. You're a person of physicality, you're a person of avera, so fine. So engage in the physical world, draw from the physical world, indulge in the physical world, and let it be the death of you. Achena brachot amitiyot avro li Yaakov. But the true brachot, they went over to Yaakov. Vayitin lacha lokim mitala shemanayim mishmei haaretz. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu was given from the dew of the heavens and from the fat of the land. V'rav dagon v'tirosh, and all kinds of the fruits of the field. Shekol mashmuta bracha hirak v'yitin lacha alukuta. Forget the rest of the bracha. The essence of the bracha, he says, is v'yitin lacha alukuta. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you the koach, that you should find elokut, godliness, in everything that you do in olam hazeh. Shainim hagashmim etel yudi, that the physical things by a Jew. Mitala shemanayim, whether it's the tal of the shamayim, whether it's the fat of the land, whether it's the dagan, I keep saying everything else from the field. No, it's
grain.
Thank you. The grains of the field, or whether it's the wine that comes from the field. All of these things, kulam yu rak elokut. It should all be elokut. Ukemamar Maran Adonenu Marinu Varabenu Bevet Avram Zilgotoy again a little apasuk, as the Admor Mislanim says, Vayisa Yaakov et Banav v'et Nashav, that Yaakov raised up And meaning took with him. I assume when he's leaving. I assume. I don't know. I think it means when he's leaving Beit Lavan. So he took Yaakov. He took his children. He took his wives. So Siperet Asipor al Rav Kadosh. Rav Menachem Mendel mi Vitavsk. Amar. Oh, Yiddish. I was hoping that wouldn't happen. Eich haviv zich of tzav dir mit di elakalim. So there are a lot of people who are listening online who are hitting themselves on the forehead that I clearly don't speak Yiddish, nor can I pronounce Yiddish. We need to remove kelim mi ala shulchan.
I took German, but
can't help. And this is what we've been talking about the whole time, that again, Yaakov ends up living up to this bracha. So that's what Parsha Vayitzei is, and it's beautiful to link these two parshiot together in that way, in a way that we don't often think about. That Yaakov lifted up all of the physicality in his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hashem Yitbarach. And this is the whole inyan of the brachot. Leharim et kol inyanei ha'olam ha'kol le'elokut. To raise up all of the physicality of this world to godliness. That the whole goal would then be fulfilled through Yaakov. Kadosh Baruch Hu give us a bracha that we should be able to, like Yaakov, and don't forget, like Yaakov, to be able to have the time to spend in the Beis Medrash. To have those years to spend in the Beis Medrash. To build ourselves up to be kemalach, to be like a malach. Halavai, we just get to stage one. And to be like a malach. To be like a malach yasharei. To be a person who's totally porish from Olam Hazeh. Totally separate from Olam Hazeh, and focus their entire reality on godliness. But then to also be able to, as Yaakov did, receive the bracha of Yitzchak, to recognize that the way that the tikkun of the world comes about is through engaging in the physical world, and to take all of the Torah that we've learned and all of the spirituality that we've gained, and then to go and to raise up the physical world itself through our actions. Because that's the ultimate goal. And, lo aleinu, if we can't take off the next decade or two to go and sit in Beis Medrash, or if we're not chayavot, then it might be problematic in the first place to take off the next 20 years of our lives and go learn a Beis Medrash. But if not, to recognize that perhaps you have more inherently built within you a capacity to see the spiritual and the physical and to fulfill this bracha even without that prerequisite. But that being said, that however it is, and whether we're zocher or not, whether we're able to or not, whether we're supposed to or not, that as we go forward in our classes, in our studies, with our families, as we go on in dating, as we go on in marriage, as we go on in getting work, whatever, and all the things we do in the physical world, just like Yaakov's going to do in the next parsha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that we should be able to find and to work to create a reality of Kedusha in everything that we do. To live like Yaakov. To create in this world like Yaakov. To be a Yaakovinu in this world. And to elevate all of the physical things that we do in this world and bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way we create the Dirah B'Tachtonim. We create a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reside in this world, and we fill the Tachlit of the Bria itself, and through that see the building of that actual Bayit in this world in the third Beit HaMikdash Mihar B'Yameinu. Mm-hmm.